Very good, very good. That's great. The title of that music, Vincent, by the way, that intro, it's a bit noisy, but it's called Soul Coaxing. Mm-hmm. Do you find that's most of your life you spent trying to, as Dave Hodges says, what's this to say, converting America one enslaved mind at a time, which I think is a very good phrase.
Well, that was something I wanted to share with you, mm-hmm. if you have time for it. You know, years ago, Mrs. Finelli and I and the family decided that, you know, it's really good to help people. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I was a United Way campaign, cheerleader. A company selected me, the bank selected me to be the cheerleader for the bank. And they sent me mm-hmm. to this meeting. And in this meeting, there were about 500 people. And I arrived a couple minutes late, and I was in the back of the room. And I kept hearing the head cheerleader saying, you know, fair share, we all need to give our fair share. And I was Columbo back then, too. And so I raised my hand, and yes, in the back there, I heard you say fair share. What is that? Well, we all need to give our fair share. I said, well, can you give it to me in a number, like a number? And he said, what do you mean? I said, okay, how about percentage of salary?
Mm-hmm. He said, tithing, like tithing in a church. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he came up with that number, 10%. And I said, 10% of what? He said, I said, is that gross or net salary? He said, gross. I said, no way. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the bank and asking someone who makes $110 a week, and this was back in the 80s, to give, you know, $11. I'm not doing it. And so right then and there, I decided that I would not participate in organized charities. Mm-hmm. And I decided that no Boy Scouts, no Girl Scouts, no American Cancer Society, no United Way, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And when you do that in business, you get blackballed.
And that's just remind you, well, American listeners will know, well, I don't think anybody, we have very few in the UK, but United Way is what, a general charity? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. United Way is a general purpose charity, is it?
Yes. Yeah, you give your money to them, and then they dole it out to other charities.
I see, yes, yeah.
So one of the questions I asked was, I said, so let's say I want to give some money to the Boy Scouts. So if I give it to the United Way, can I direct that, let's say, my contribution to the United Way, and I would designate that it would be given to the Boy Scouts, just to the Boy Scouts. Would that happen? They said, oh, absolutely. I said, okay. So, for example, let's say I wanted to not do a payroll deduction. I want to do just a lump sum. Let's say I wanted to donate $100 to United Way, designated to be given to the Boy Scouts. Would they get whatever you were going to give them to begin with, plus my $100? They said, no. They would get whatever we were going to give them anyway. So when you designate, it has no meaning. No meaning whatsoever. So if you think you're going to give to the United Way and that money's going to go to the Boy Scouts, that's not true. They're going to give the Boy Scouts whatever they're going to give them anyway. So I decided not to. So I decided that we would help people directly. And, for example, at one time we had a computer manufacturing company. And a lot of people wanted to have their computers upgraded. You know, as Microsoft came out with more and more complex software, we needed faster and faster processors so people would upgrade their computers. So we would upgrade them. And then when we upgraded them, I'd say, these are the parts that were left over. These are yours. And they would say, well, I don't want them. I'd say, all right, I'll tell you what. If you want, we will put them in, we'll buy new cases. We will pay for them. And we'll put your parts along with other people's parts in new cases. And we'll give them to people who need them. Is that okay with you? And they would say, it's great. So we'd collect the parts for all year. And then in December, we would build computers. And we would just drop them off on the front steps of people whom, and front porches of people whom we knew had children that could really use a computer that didn't have one because we were the computer company in the area. So that, those are the kinds of things that we would do in order to help people. But lately, I'm getting really discouraged. Let me give you an example. So we live on this dirt road, and we saw this car was upside down in a ditch on the dirt road where we live, and almost across from our farm. And it has a car go upside down, literally on its roof. Well, if it were on a major highway or something, that'd be towed away, and there'd be a great deal of expense for the owner. So we're trying to figure out how this thing's upside down, and So I was helping our other friend across the road from us, and saw a bunch of people looking at this car. So we went over there and said, you guys need any help? I said, I think we're okay. I said, so what are you going to do? I don't mean to be nosy, but what are you going to do? And we're going to, you know, pull it out of the ditch. I said, how are you going to do that? They said, we're going to hook it up to a, you know, a pickup truck, a four-wheel drive pickup truck with these chains. We're going to flip it over. I'm thinking, it's going to destroy the car. So I said, I know a guy with a backhoe. Would you like some help? And they said, well, how much is it going to cost? And I said, well, I know the guy with the backhoe. It's not going to cost anything. So that's me. You know, I had the backhoe. So we pulled it. We pulled it up, turned it over, and did not damage it any further, and left it on this farmer's field out of the road. And we said, but what we'll do is, not Monday, but Tuesday, we'll come and tow it to your house down the road. Because the guy lived, you know, like a mile and a half, 2 miles from where the car was overturned. And we said, just leave the keys in our mailbox, first mailbox on the right. And we gave him the number, and we'll pull it to your house. Well, a couple days goes by, no key, no key, no key. And finally, we saw this guy in, we had the backhoe, and I said to my son, we're just going to pick up the front of this car, and we're just going to tow it down the road. We'll just pick it up off the front wheels and bring it to his home. And my son saw this guy with in another vehicle, and he kind of ignored us. My son stopped the backhoe, put down the supporting arms, blocked the entire road, jumped out of the backhoe, and said, hey, I'm going to pull this backhoe to your house right now, or if you don't want that, I'll just push it back in the ditch. And the reason was, my son was so frustrated because he went to get the key twice, and the children that lived in this building stuck their hand out the window and gave our son the finger. So
I see.
It's getting harder to help people.
Well, it's like this, all this issue to do with the issues of the election. Now, I electioneered a lot over the years and on this famous referendum on Brexit, et cetera, et cetera. But it's hard to get through to people are brainwashed. People are programmed and brainwashed to a shocking degree. And I say this and people don't believe me. Well, I said, this is on serious matters. People are just, the very same syndrome here. People are locked into their beliefs. That's another way of putting it. Would you say that? And you do a lot of public meetings, Vincent, on prepping. But again, of course, the people who go to prepping meetings are committed anyway, and I'd say they're a better group of people. But it can be very. It's getting harder and harder to get through to people. You are finding that, yeah.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've been discussing with our family that I don't know how many more of these events I'd like to do. Probably not too more, many more. Let me tell you about the meetup group. So this relates to people. This relates to why I'm finding it more and more difficult to help people. So for going on 6 years, we had a meetup every week. Every single week we would have a meetup, except maybe for Christmas time we'd say, do you want to have a meetup? And they'd say, well, we're going to have, you know, family events, so we won't have a meetup this week. So almost every single week for going on 6 years, we had a meetup at a local restaurant in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, you'll explain what kind of agenda you had.
So the agenda would be we would have a seminar speaker come in, all like Dr. Norman Shealy, medical doctor, surgeon of the year. We would have Larry Nichols. We would have some of the broadcasters on the network do a Skype seminar. Dane Wigington, Geoengineering Watch. We'd have Dr. Joel Wallach come in person, you know, many times. So absolutely unbelievably good seminars. And sometimes we'd have just one.
On the subjects of what? Prepping, yeah.
Preparedness in general. We would teach rifle, pistol, shotgun. We would talk about gardening. We would talk about saving seeds, gold, silver, everything, every topic you could possibly imagine. I don't think there's one that you could imagine that relates to preparing that we haven't taught. And we would have one, two, or three seminars per meetup. And the meetups would generally start, oh, let's say 5:30. In the evening, and they used to go until 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock. Sure. Yeah, we had a restaurant.
That's a hell of a lot.
Oh, yeah. And it would be a lot of people. So I would ask the group, you know, after the first 6 months, I'd say, you know, a lot of you have been to the meetups, and, you know, you come every week. If one of us here needed help, would you be willing to help that person? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's see a show of hands. How many? And like all the hands will go up. So my mm-hmm. understanding is that if one of us needed help, you would be willing to help. Yes. Great. And I do this every 6 months or so. Well, toward the going into about 5 years of meetups, I saw this one particular man, and he was who's a truck driver, mm-hmm. an over-the-road truck driver. And I said, you know, you're quite articulate. You're up to speed with the news. Would you share with us, would you become an instructor at the meetup and tell us what you have seen with your own eyes traveling across the country? And he said, sure. So he gave a seminar on what he saw, and it was really riveting. It was a great seminar. Mm-hmm. And so he kept coming to the meetups, and he'd been
Just generally, what was the decline? Was he talking about the decline in America, or good or bad, or what?
No, he talked about the decline in America. He would talk about the me-first attitude. He'd talk about things that the truck drivers saw, increasing prices, aggressive driving on the road, things that just general observations that we've all seen. Mm-hmm. But we've all seen, but not everybody has had register with them. Okay, so mm-hmm. I asked him do the seminar, and he did. So everybody knew who he was. Meetup after meetup after meetup. And then one day I said to him, so where do you live? And he pointed outside, and he said, toward the parking lot, and he said, out there. I said, what do you mean? He said, in that van out there. I said, you live in your van? He said, yeah. I said, is that what you want to do? And he said, well, right now, he goes from parking lot to parking lot. He'll go to a Walmart parking lot with his van and his trailer with his possessions in it. And it's not all beat up. It was a nice vehicle. It wasn't new. Mm-hmm. It wasn't falling apart. It was kind of middle of the road, but it was acceptable, visually. And I said, is that what you want to do? And he said, well, it'd be nice to have a place, a base, that he could go to every day. And he could live in his van, but he'd have a place to go to, as he'd call his base of operations. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. And he said, but I don't want to do it for free. I would, if someone has a farm and they let me just park on the farm, I'd like to help out on the farm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So I said to the meetup group, there's one of us here tonight who's been coming to the meetups, and I didn't identify whether it was a he or a she. And that person is living in a vehicle and would like a place to have a base of operations and would like to help out. If if you can do that, come see me at the end of the meetup and let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So of all these wonderful people who were going to help another person, help one of us.
Yeah, to prove the phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, this type of thing. That's when the rubber hits the road, etc. So how are they going to survive when they need allies? I'm sure you've went through that list of 10 we just won't talk about water and a filter and a generator, but high on the list, I'm sure, is allies, good, reliable friends that will actually do things. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's well, hard
with
to
that,
get.
And with that, there's food, there's medication. So if a person's diabetic, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Other than camel milk, I don't know a solution. Then of course, there's a first aid kit and the tools. We were traveling stranded in Maryland. I had a breaker bar. The breaker bar is the one I had with me was a half inch square drive, about 28 inches long. And you put a socket on the end of it and, loosen lug nuts on a wheel. Well, I keep it for that, and I also keep it in case I need to, if I get into an altercation with somebody and that person needs to be tuned up, I have this breaker in my hand. So, you need tools, you need defense tools, you need to have, what about hygiene products? All kinds of hygiene products. We had with us toothbrush, toothpaste, ways of cleaning up and, taking a burn bath in the restroom, and clothing, appropriate clothing. It's 31 degrees, and it wasn't, you probably wouldn't die at 31 degrees, but it certainly wasn't comfortable, without that appropriate clothing. But the point I was trying to make about the meetup is here you've got people who you've seen week after week after week. They've come to your home Okay. We've had events here at the home. We'd say, Thanksgiving's coming, Christmas coming. Would you like to meet at the restaurant, or would you like to come to the farm? They go, let's go to the farm. So
and regards, I went to political meetings that for years and years and years. The cost of a room and that, does the group pay and contributions for the cost of the meeting?
In our case, no. What would happen is we recommended, but we didn't require that.
So who sponsored the meeting then?
Well, I did. I sponsored the meeting. There were no dues. There were no dues, no requirements, just a suggestion that, it costs for this meetup room. We actually took over the main dining hall of the restaurant, the main dining room, really. And it'd be nice if we had purchased a meal or purchased something. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the suggestion. But we had one lawyer that came. He said, you need to have dues. And I said, no, I don't want to have dues. So we didn't charge anybody for the USA Prepares meetup. But what happened was, and this is another interesting thing. Dr. Norman Shealy is a close personal family friend. And he had been to meetups at least every 3 months or so for years. And people would say, oh, Dr. Shealy, it's so great to see you. You know, I've got this ache. I've got this pain. I've got high blood pressure, whatever it was. He was there on tap for several hours dispensing medical information every 3 months or so. Mm-hmm. Well, one day he was on the air with me and he said, I'd love to do a study at the meetup with a spiritual healer. This spiritual healer friend of mine is at the in the area, and he'd like to see how this works. And I'd like to bring my EKG machine and see how medically the remote spiritual healing works. Mm-hmm. Can we do it at the meetup? And I said, well, I'm not at the meetup every week, but there's another guy who's taking over for me in my absence, and I'll call him. I think we can make this work. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Shealy and his spiritual healer friend went to the meetup, and they asked for volunteers. They got volunteers, and they did this spiritual healing, and Dr. Shealy measured medically with an EKG machine the results live right there. And
is that a QRMA machine?
It was an EKG.
I don't know what that is.
It measures electrical impulses of the body.
Yeah, yeah.
What he did was he proved that there was some level of bona fide benefit for this spiritual healing. And these are the regular meetup people who came week after for years, and so they were known, and they volunteered. And after Dr. Shealy left, they continued the meetup with the next seminars and discussions. And the guy running the meetup took a vote. He said, "How many of you vote to ban Dr. Shealy from ever coming back here?" So he took a vote. Three of our instructors, three people there, said, "Are you kidding? You want to ban Dr. Shealy? He's a brain surgeon. He's a neurosurgeon. Surgeon of the year. Mm-hmm. Wrote 33 books. He's on the radio multiple times per week. Have you lost your mind?" And he started the holistic medicine in the United States. So they voted to ban him. And I was so outraged that the same group of people who would say, Dr. Shealy, I've got these aches and pains.
How many out of a many? Three out of a many?
Well, three. I think there were nine people who were willing to vote against.
How many at the meeting? Sorry, just to get the perspective. How many meeting people at the meeting in total?
Oh, probably 50 at that particular meeting, but not everybody voted, and I wasn't there.
The purpose of that request was just to check, to test people's reactions. Did they appreciate what was going on? Was that the reason?
No, the purpose was, they felt that what he was doing was with the occult. It was with the dark side.
See.
And it wasn't.
I see. No. I've seen pop positive healers like that, and the good ones, it does work, etc. But anyway, we'll be back after this short break, and we'll continue on with Vincent Finale.
We'll be right back. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
How you doing? This is Jimmy from Zipa, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. All you people that like to procrastinate, the people that like to go ahead on Black Friday the night before and they camp out waiting for that great deal. Well, hello, newsflash, the deal for Zipa is now. The deal for Zipa is today. We do not reward procrastination. If you want a great price on a Zipa, go to Zipa.com and buy now. If you're going to go ahead and procrastinate, we're going to penalize you for it. What does that mean? That means the price of all the Zipas go up on Black Friday. And you know what happens on Cyber Monday? It goes up again. This is the last opportunity that you will have to get this great price for the Zipa. This is the time now. You wait till Black Friday, the price is going up. Because remember, sleep is priceless. Go to Zipa.com, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com, and get the deal now.
Okie dokie, and we're coming back in. That's another one we play on the return, Vincent. Only you. That's you. That's Akra Wolf playing that for you. One of the great things that the only respite I have from the work I do here, and I do work, and I'm producing stuff to be published eventually. Mark Dice. Have you seen Mark Dice's videos where he interviews people along the promenade in?
It's America's stupidest people. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's not setting them up, and he's not editing down 100, but it's outstanding, and he's done two or three this week, and he's been interviewed on Alex Jones by Paul Joseph Watson, who's Alex Jones, all his websites are done in the UK here by Watson's brother. He calls them his redcoats, but it's very funny, but it's very revealing about what people don't know. It's but of course, that's California, and they just want to be happy,
right? Well, they feel they deserve happy. It's right to be happy. It's interesting you say that because
entitlement. Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because. For Thanksgiving here, our boys were coming to visit the farm, and one of them was going to pick up a turkey and arrive the day before, and he stubbed his toe and broke his toe, and he was went to the emergency clinic, and his toe was black and blue and purple, and he said he wouldn't be able to make it, And so, therefore, we didn't have the turkey. Now, here's the interesting thing, because he was going to get a turkey that he thought that Mrs. Finelli would really like. Anyway, so
one that was ready to cook.
So he didn't make it. He didn't make it to Thanksgiving, to our Thanksgiving afternoon dinner, if you will. And we're around the table, and my mom was there, Mrs. Finelli was there, our other son was there, and I was there. And our son said, "My brother ruined Thanksgiving." And we all laughed because that's something that we would never say. And it was kind of funny because that would be something that a millennial would say, a snowflake would say. You ruined Thanksgiving. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting because we just said, well, let's have Thanksgiving next week. Mm-hmm. We'll have it next week. We'll all get together and we'll be thankful next week. We'll be together.
Okay.
And
you got your turkey anyway, did you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did.
By the way, when he had to go to the medical clinic, how much did that cost him? By the way, just compared.
I didn't ask him. But typically,
he would have had to pay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it was $400 or $500.
What?
Oh, it's very very expensive.
We have a National Health Service thing. It's free, and you're even if you were here visiting me and you got ill, you'd be treated. They'd find out about your insurance and that, but they wouldn't refuse you. You get treated free. That is one thing about the NHS.
So, are you happy with the NHS?
Oh no, it's in perpetual crisis. they're short $2 to $5 billion this year. The government have to go into their pockets and put another $5 billion in, largely because of the immigration. That's what's calling. Most of the people who are immigrants who come here, they are really leaning heavily on it, and having children and all this maternity care. But I've got a docket on the wall here. I have two back teeth that have to be dealt with in the hospital. But we have been 5 months arsing around trying to find one who will deal with me. And I'll just tell you a funny story. The South African guy across the road, dentist, very nice guy, Johan, and because he was just about to take this back kind of tooth out that's got nothing left to it to get a grip on, and he said to give me an injection, and then I casually told him that I was taking 300 mils of aspirin. I was actually taking 600 mils of aspirin a day. He says, "What? I can't do this." I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, the aspirin thin your blood, you could bleed to death." I said, "What? I'm not a bleeder." And I know I'm not. And he filled in a form that I was self-medicating. Now, that treated me almost like a heroin addict. So I've now been kicked around four different hospitals. This is the bureaucracy of the NHS. It's terribly bureaucratic. But you will be treated here in the UK, regardless. But I can't believe it. What your son needed was about $50 worth of treatment.
Oh, sure, sure. But, he wanted to... There's not much you can do for a broken toe. You just tape it to another toe and tough it out. But, he was concerned. But, we were talking about the village before, and we were talking about the meetup. And I've been trying to build a village here in our little neck of the woods in Missouri, and it's darn near impossible.
Meaning a village, what, a real village or a community of cooperative people?
No, I'm just talking about a bunch of people that get together and work together and have common goals and are trying to reach.
I'll clarify that after. I thought that was the whole thing of the preppers thing, but that's in a city. I see. Okay, we'll go to this bottom of the hour break, and then we have a 20-minute run with no interruptions. Then, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
"I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours."
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutraMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi. My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okie dokie, and we're coming back in the long section. Well, sorry, carry on there. I'm very amazed to hear you saying you're going to start a village. Tell me how that's going to work.
Well, here's what I've tried to do. So I live in this middle of nowhere part of Missouri. There are about 100 people in town, and I live outside of town. And I'm not exaggerating that number. Mm-hmm. When I moved to town, I heard that there was this Lions Club, and I was a member of the Lions Club in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So they invited me to a meeting, and I went to this meeting, and they said, you know, we're having a drawing, and we're going to give away 2 memberships for a year. And sure enough, another guy who was a first-time Lions Club visitor in this club in Missouri and I both won free memberships. So I started becoming active and talking about emergency preparedness and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I would get up to speak and they'd say, 2 minutes. Don't let them have more than 2 minutes. And they gave me such a hard time. I said, look. We have
2 minutes for you to speak or somebody asking
for
a question?
For me. They would say, don't give Finelli more than 2 minutes.
That sounds like the European Parliament. You're allowed 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That sounds like the European Parliament. You're allowed 90 seconds. You're allowed 2 minutes. Carry on, yeah?
So what I said was, you know, the strongest building we have in our village here is the elementary school. It's a brick building. It's got a kitchen. It's got a lagoon. It's got a 1,000-gallon propane tank. And why don't we contact the Red Cross, get their cots, blankets, and have them store them in the storage room here. And that way, if there's a disaster, they're here. And we're ready to go should there be a fire, a tornado, whatever happens, power outage, we're here. Because we had an 11-day power outage, and it was pretty serious here in our neck of the woods. It was a nice storm.
11 days, that's really serious. Yeah.
It was pretty serious. The bottom line was...
What caused that outage, by the way?
The temperature was just below freezing, and it was raining, and the rain froze on the power lines, and the power lines became so heavy that they broke. Then we had some fires as a result of down power lines, you know, arcing, and then we had gas stations. Of course, they couldn't dispense fuel because they didn't have generators to run their pumps. The roads were really slick. Couldn't get out. Stores weren't open. It was pretty serious. So anyway, you know, I mentioned that we should be prepared for all kinds of emergencies and have everything at the ready. Buy food, have it stored, and then as the food expiration date approached, we could give that food to the cans of food, dry food and long-term storage food, to those who needed it, and then buy some more. Mm-hmm. And we could be self-sufficient. And finally, they said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a $200 voucher at this local little general store in our little hamlet here. And we'll, if someone has an emergency, we'll provide up to $200 for them. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's their emergency preparedness plan.
Well, the joke is, in an emergency, the shelves would be cleared anyway.
Well, when they had the ice storm, that store was closed. That general store, they couldn't even get to the general store.
Yeah,
it was closed for, you know, a week.
Well, you're saying is the people who didn't understand the fundamentals of a crisis, yeah.
Now, and these are farmers. You would think that if anyone understood crises and emergency preparedness, it would be farmers because we live it, right? Well, farmers have gotten away from providing everything farmers need. We go to the store. You know, if we want a pizza, we go to the store. If we want bread, we go to the store. If we want a can of soup, we go to the store.
Well, I'm descended from the farm community on my mother's side, and I worked on a farm every year for 12 years as a kid from 7 to 17, and happiest days of my life. But the farming community are basically not, I'm excluding you, you've proven you're an outreach worker, but are basically selfish and independent renegades. They need leadership, no matter where they are. And this is why they've been taken over by Monsanto. It's shocking to see. I thought I'd never live to see this day. I've yet to get people on here. Well, I have to say, I've been saying this program for last year. I want to get a group of GMO farmers on, and it won't be pretty what I say to them, but to explain themselves. But I'll do that soon, and I'll let you know when it's going to happen.
the bottom line is, it's darn near impossible to get a village to work together. And it's not just us here in Missouri. We have a friend, an instructor in Europe, and he was building a village, and he's doing a fabulous, fabulous job, way better than we were. He got the village.
Which country is he in?
He's in Austria.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, they have a very good mentality. Like just briefly, the farming states of Colorado is the Wyoming, Montana, and into Alberta in Canada, the Rocky Mountain states. They are the fundamental people. There are the founding people of that state. Those states are German and Scandinavian, and they're very resourceful people. I'm sure you found that.
Absolutely, we have several instructors who are of German descent, and apps or German, and brilliant, brilliant, resourceful people. The story I was going to share with you is that. In Europe, this man built a village. He got people to be more self-reliant. He, for example, there's a bunch of farmers there, and they bought their own equipment to manufacture hydraulic hoses. So they bought the fittings and the hose, and they bought the tools to crimp them. They went in on bulk purchases of lubricants and things like that to lower their costs, and it was working really well.
A cooperative, effectively.
Yeah. Yeah, it was working very, very well, and he was leading the charge. The next thing you know, another guy comes into town with money, throws some money around, and our friend is no longer involved in the village. The village has disbanded its emergency preparedness.
Oh,
so it's not just over here. It's over where you are, too.
Sure.
Very, very difficult.
I'll give an example. I've given this stupid example too many times in this program, but I buy trousers and I'm extremely, I would like to tell you what my waistline is, extremely large, but I get hard ones to fit me, and once I get the size, I buy it. But I've learned to try and get a trouser with metal zips. These plastic zips are a pain.
Right.
But for a year, I went in and I bought four spare metal zips, KKK, they're known as the brand, and I've had them for 10 years.
We have them here.
And wait to hear this, right through Hereford and Mid Wales here, I was looking for, like, in my youth when I was growing, my mother could always find a woman to do alterations, a seamstress, if you like, you know.
Right, right.
But do you think I could find anybody over there? No way. There is eventually, well, if I found somebody here, well, the trousers are gone now, and if you give them to a dry cleaner to do it, they'll charge you 12 quid, which is about $15. But it's quite a bit of a skill job to do it. But the people, women now, that's beneath them. And I wanted to do this test. I've said this before. I'll just do it very quickly. I'd love to bring a sewing machine into a school where they say 15-year-old girls sit at the back of the class and let the teacher explain to the girls what it's for and what they'd be interested in. Because I'm considering they spend their life on mobile phones and this kind of crap. At least two generations down, generations of people do not have a sewing machine in the house. Is that fair to say?
I have one in the living room.
Very good, very good. Well, I knew you would have. Yeah, an industrial one is worth getting first. Stitching tarpaulins, by the way.
Yeah, we have a Dometic treadle, foot powered sewing machine, probably from
like,
the 1920s.
Like an old Singer sewing machine from years ago. Yeah,
right. So yeah, we're very concerned about the grid, and that was one of the things that, you know, when you talk about preparedness. Pretty much everything runs on electricity today. And the question is going to be, what happens when this current generation, this snowflake generation, finds out that the cell tower is not working and they can't charge the cell phone and they can't contact, you know, their friends? Are they going to melt down or are they going to get down to business? And getting down to business, what would they do? Because they don't know very much.
Indeed. And Mark Dice, I'm sure he'll expand his thing other than going along the promenade in San Diego, where the trendy people are. But although they're very nice people, it have to be said. But what they don't know is shocking. And I'm sure you've seen the one he did where he tried to sell a Hershey bar for $1 or a 10-ounce bar of silver, and nobody took the bar of silver.
They could have a Hershey bar? Are you saying they could have a Hershey bar or a bar of silver?
Yeah, a 10-ounce bar of silver, which is worth $150 at the time, or a Hershey bar. They all took the Hershey bar for $1. Well, in fact, he said, then he tried to give it away. No charge at all, and they all took the Hershey bar. Nobody would take their bar of silver, and he did it with a 1-ounce gold coin, the same result. I'm not kidding.
No, I absolutely believe it. We've been talking about precious metals, gold and silver, for years and years, and it's very difficult for someone, and here's what I don't understand. They look at their bank statements and they say, wow, hey, honey, we're getting a quarter of a percent interest on the savings account. It could be worse. It could be zero. But look, you know, our digits are going up. They're willing to let a bank control their digits.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they won't trade digits for something physical.
That's right. And the low interest rates, by the way, by all the central banks, is a filthy scam to keep Wall Street and the City of London working. And the head of the Bank of England here is Mark Carney, ex-Goldman Sachs, ex-Canadian Central Bank. And, you know, it has destroyed savings and pensions. Totally and utterly. And there's another thing, I've gone through it, but not in detail on this program, on financial headings. There's bail-in. Bailout is where the banks are bailed out by the central bank, which is obscene. But bail-in legislation, most people don't know what it means. It means your pension, your savings will be sliced legally and legitimately by the government in the next crisis. 5, 10, 15, 35%. They took 35% off the accounts in Cyprus. One of the reasons they did when Cyprus went bust was the Russian mafia had taken over the banks, effectively. They were lodging colossal amounts of money out. But I've been trying to explain what bail-in means. And the bank guarantee, I'm just reading it here a few minutes ago before I came on there, is now £85,000 per bank account, per person, per bank. But in a financial crisis, that'll be changed overnight at the stroke of a pen to whatever it is on the day. So it's actually basically a letter of comfort. It's not a real guarantee. That's the answer.
Well, we're talking about interest rates, and you know, you can buy cars with, you know, almost no interest, low interest. And I wanted to share
I won't interrupt you, but the car sales are booming here in a mediocre economy because people are allowed to lease cars for the first 3 years, and 50% of the debt is on the back end of the loan, which is insane. But sorry, go on what you're saying about lease cars.
I don't buy new cars. And, you know, I was trying to think where I was, but...
sorry about leasing cars.
Someone asked me what kind of car I was driving, and I said... a Mercedes, and they said, oh, I know what it was. I was paying, I had to pay tax to keep my car. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, what kind of car is it? So I'm at the official government location where I'm physically there. They said, okay, what kind mm-hmm. of car is it? I said, Mercedes. They said, mm-hmm. wow! I said, don't get excited. Don't get excited. Mm-hmm. It's 16 years old. And it's got, mm-hmm. you know, almost 200,000 miles on it. And I said, as a matter of fact, I paid less for this vehicle than the guy paid in tax when he bought it new.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, don't get excited about it. And that was one of the points that I wanted to share with the audience today. And that is, mm-hmm. so if you buy, you can buy a used quality vehicle. I would mm-hmm. consider Mercedes a used quality vehicle. Mm-hmm. You know, an old one. You can get a 10 to 15 year old Mercedes for about 10% of what it costs when it was new.
Sure.
And that's
sure.
what I did. Now, so I looked up what the cost of my Mercedes was when it was new. I was absolutely floored last night. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
$63,000.
Uh-huh. Is that a G? Is that a, what do you call it, a 4x4 G, what do you call it, G100?
G-Wagon? Mercedes yeah. G-Wagon? Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're sought after, yeah.
I paid less than 10% of what the, you know, the original owner paid for that.
Yeah.
And I bought a Chevy truck. It had about 200,000 miles on it. And I paid, I looked up the price of, in 2000, it's a 2004. I bought it with 200,000 miles on it. The price new was between $20,000 and $40,000 US. Mm-hmm. I paid $3,000 for it. Now here's, mm-hmm. here's the point. If you find a good quality vehicle, you know, one that's not banged up and one that'll run well and, you know, is reliable, and you get it for the price of the tax, why would you buy a new car? Why would you
Absolutely.
Do that? You'd be forever paying.
Anybody who drives a car out of a showroom brand new, you've lost 25%, 15 to 20% of the value straight away. But
yes.
The carry-on here on the UK, people buying cars with finance, is just a joke. And it's dead money. It's negative money in the economy. And when I was growing up years ago, you'd have a credit squeeze from time to time, the Chancellor's Exchequer, if there was too much money out on credit. They have not introduced a credit squeeze ever in the last 25 years. Low interest rates and credit cards all over the place, which is absolutely, you know, insane. Absolutely insane. But I was going to say to you about the entire prepping thing. In terms of growing food and that, are there many people growing food in polytunnels in your area at all? Do they?
Well, we call them high hoops.
Yeah, that's right.
Here, and it's a trend that is gaining traction. Hoop houses, high hoops, high tunnels. Yeah, and it extends the growing season. So, what we do is we take concrete blocks and we separate them 4 feet. We make rows of 4 feet apart with these concrete blocks. Mm-hmm. Roughly 16 feet long. And the reason for that is if you have a raised bed garden 4 feet wide, if you sit on a concrete block, you can reach the middle of it, which is 2 feet away. So you can easily, you know, tend to your garden by sitting mm-hmm. on the concrete block. So you don't have to crawl in there. You don't have to lean very far. So, and then what you can do is you can take these PVC pipes and bend them mm-hmm. into a hoop and then insert those bent ends into the holes of the concrete blocks and then attach mm-hmm. Clear plastic over it and extend
sure.
the growing season. And that's the trend here because it's inexpensive. The plastic, you can replace it every year if you want, or you can try to save it sure. from year to year. And mm-hmm. it's a great way to go. It really is.
It, in this oncoming change of climate, which will happen, not in, terms of just cyclical, it's going to happen in Europe, and most honest scientists agree it's going to happen, just the growing season will be shortened. That's the first thing that happens. And it is sheds for cattle to be indoors, and growing on polytunnels will become a serious factor.
And keeping animals sheltered, as you mentioned. You know, it's interesting, here in our neck of the woods, actually all over the United States, there are these government agencies, and some of them are called Soil and Water Conservation District and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they usually share physical locations, and they work together, the local state guys and the federal guys, and what they encourage farmers to do is not use their streams. And put their cows, fence their cows out of the woods so that the cows can't get shelter. And we've resisted that. Actually, we haven't taken their money. And we let our cows go in the woods. We let our cows go swimming in the ponds in the summer if they want to cool off.
This is this sustainability crap of Agenda 21 and like the BLM. You don't have the BLM in your area, the Bureau of Land Management, do you?
I'm not sure. We have not confronted them yet, but... You know, if we need to, we certainly will. But
they do operate in Missouri, do they?
I'm sorry?
They do operate in Missouri, the BLM.
I'll look that up and I'll let you know.
No, that's okay. No. Okay, we'll go to this short break and then we'll have 3 or 4 minutes left after the break, okay?
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760. Or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, and we're coming back into the last few minutes, Vincent, but just a few minutes left, and I'm very grateful for you coming on today. I really am. What would you say is the hopes for, like that guy, you know, setting up cooperatives? Because basically cooperatives for purchasing a bulk brings people together. Is that a runner in Missouri for what you're doing there?
Well, we have tried that. Many of our instructors have tried that without very much success whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple reasons for this, I think. There are people who are keyboard preppers, if you will. There are people who like to do lots of reading, and but they live in apartments.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for them to prepare. Mm-hmm. There are people who live in the city and who are very interested in getting out of the city, but their family is there. And so they won't leave their family. And that's true of, like, Virginia. If you look in the phone book in Virginia, you'll see there's some very prominent names, and they occupy many pages. You know, the same last name occupies many pages in the phone book. Well, many of them are related, and because they're related, they don't want to leave their cousins and their brothers and their sisters and their mothers and their fathers and their children, so they stay. They won't mm-hmm. leave and go out on their own. And wherever they are, if they're in a small house or if they're in an apartment, wherever they are, that's where they're going to stay. So mm-hmm. it's difficult for them to want to move. There are a lot of people who will not leave their families to become mm-hmm. more independent, to get that larger farm where they can have lower mm-hmm. taxes, like what we did. We moved from a mm-hmm. higher cost of living to a lower cost of living area. Mm-hmm. We first bought our farm. It's 241 acres, and our taxes were $188 a year for the mm-hmm. farm, which is very low compared. Mm-hmm. If this farm were on the East Coast, it would probably be, first of all, you couldn't get one in New Jersey. There aren't very many farms this size left in New Jersey, but I would estimate the taxes would be $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year for real estate taxes. Mm-hmm. So Virginia, less, but still, it would be probably, $8,000 a year in rural Virginia for the same size farm. So it's very difficult to get people to work together, as far as I can tell. I've been mm-hmm. unsuccessful in doing it. We've had expos, we've had meetups, I speak publicly less and less all the time now, but I can't seem to do it. I've been unsuccessful, mm-hmm. and even the guys who I said, wow, how did you do that? Ultimately, they failed as well. It's, mm-hmm. I think part of it is because of the economy, part of it is because of family, yeah. and part of it is distrust mm-hmm. of each other.
Indeed. That's well explained. But where's the prepper movement in Missouri now in terms of, you surely have allies in other states as well. Is it growing as such?
Well, there are more preparedness events than I've ever seen before. However, they're small. There are lots of events. For example, if I go to speak at, and I'm going to be speaking next weekend. Let's see. Yeah, next weekend in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I would expect that I'd have about 100 people in my seminar. Probably mm-hmm. average size for, you know, some of the larger seminars. But that's not a lot of people. There should be 10,000 people at a preparedness event like that.
But it ends up being missionary work, so to speak. But anyway, we've come to the end of the program. I'm very grateful to you, and I will send you what I mentioned on the phone to you, that information on composting, how to build composting pits and produce organic fertilizer. I will send you that this week, right? Information on that. A guy like you can handle that information and get it done. But anyway, thank you again, Vincent Fanelli. And as I say, we'll be back this time next week, and we'll talk to you then.
BJ Barden, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.